Everyone.
Morning.
All right. It's good to be here this morning. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Jesus, we thank you that we can come here together this morning in your name, worship you, to learn more about you, to draw closer to you, and encourage each other, to uplift each other. God, we thank you so much that we have the privilege to be able to gather together. In your name, amen.
Amen.
As we sing through these songs, one thought that's been in my mind, or one phrase through the last few weeks, is God is with us. And no matter how great and mighty he is, which he is all those things, and he's amazing and powerful, he's with us, right here with us. We don't have to talk about him like he's somewhere off in the sky or the heavens, whatever those are. He's right here. He's listening. He's here with us right now and always. It's an amazing thought to think that our God came down to earth so he could be with us. Wow. So as we sing, celebrate that he is with us. Go ahead and stand.
What could stand again?
scared of darkness, light arise and heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe a change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see.
Morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. During this time in our service, we like to give you that opportunity to give. And so we'll pray a prayer over the offering time. And we just want to bless God and continue to trust Him with faithfulness. And believe with me that we will see through a difficult time right now. We're actually struggling a little bit on the finances, and I'm not exactly sure why, but I just have faith in God that it's going to be okay. And so let's just trust in Him that everything will work out, all right? I know we've got lots of projects we've been involved with, and that's probably some of it, but let's just pray and trust God to provide. Lord God, we're thankful for the privilege it is that we can give. We know, Lord, that we are asked and even commanded in a way to give a tenth of our income as a tithe. And I know that even as we go back into the law and study the old scriptures, that it wasn't just 10%, but so many were required to give even up in the middle of the 30%. And that was a requirement. You don't have that law over us today. We are able to freely give as we're led by your Spirit. And I'm thankful for that privilege, to know that we are able to find grace in the areas of finances. But Lord, we also know that it takes finances to make things work. And so even though it's a different world that we live in today, with so much grace and forgiveness for the challenges that we face and the struggles of finances, we know this is a tough time for our country, for our nation, for our community. Lord, we know that you will provide, and we will have what we need to accomplish your will in this church and in this community. So I pray a blessing on each and every one who is able to give today. May they do it out of a glorious worship to you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in song, you're welcome to give, whether it's online or in person. God bless you as you continue to be faithful.
stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of
Different reasons why we come to a church building. Sometimes we come out of obligation, out of guilt. Sometimes we come because we're told we have to and we don't have a choice. Sometimes we come because we do want to come together in a worshipful manner and sing a song that expresses our love. Sometimes we come because we know that the people need us to be here for them. So we don't come to receive, but to give. And I'm not talking about the finances. I'm talking about the spiritual giving. To give love to someone who needs to know you care. to express knowledge and understanding of words that come from the Bible in a class time. Many different reasons that we come together. And all the things that we do ought to be as worship. Whether we're singing a song or listening to the word being taught or preached, whether we're here just to love on someone that you know is hurting, it's all worship. And as we've received the love of God into our lives, the greatest challenge that we have, we can then respond with love. Say, I thank you for loving me, God, and I love you back. Love is sacrifice. Love is putting someone else's needs above your own. Love is saying no to what you want and yes to what someone else wants. Because you know it's the best way to show that you truly do care. Lord, we're here to love you. We're here to worship. We're here to love one another. We're here to receive from you. But we're also here to give of ourselves for your glory. And to be faithful to the call that you've called us to. I just pray, Lord God, that as we continue with our service today, that you will be lifted up as we lift one another. I think of a couple different families who are mourning their loss today. I think of the Ingalls, who I was made aware are mourning the loss of a family member who loved the Lord. He's with you, Lord. But the family's left behind, and we need to pray a peace to come upon them. That they would mourn with hope that is eternal. And then I think of Larry, who is now in your presence. His prayer has been answered. And he sees you face to face, something I'm a little jealous of at times. But I know you're not done with me yet. You're not done with us. We're still here. And so, Lord, we need your grace. We need your peace. We need your comfort. I lift up Kathy to you and pray an extra special portion of your courageous strength to be upon her. She's a courageous woman that has faced a lot, but Lord, I know that your grace is sufficient. And all the family, the kids, the grandkids, I just pray, Lord God, that you'll be with the Meltons today. Bless them. Lead them. And many other needs that are represented here in this body, which we simply have to trust in you. I just pray, Lord God, that as we honor you, as we worship, as we open our hearts to you, that you will have your will and your way in our lives. Hear our prayers, but lead us by your Spirit. And we ask all of this in your precious holy name. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be together in his house. And we do have, by the way, in case you're curious, we have a working upstairs bathroom. Woohoo! So you don't have to battle it out at the downstairs bathrooms now, and I'm thankful for that. We're making progress, and I'm thankful for that for sure. Yeah, that's good news. I wanted to point out the obvious if you haven't looked around at all today. Lou is wearing quite the outfit. Lou, people online can't see you. You need to come up here. We all agree? Come on, Lou. Come on. Come on up. We got to see this online. All the streamers have to see this. I don't know the whole story. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even notice the shorts. Wow. Oh, that's hilarious. So the ladies had a fun weekend. You have to be up here because we got to see the shorts. I think the girls picked out some wild, crazy stuff at the secondhand store, and Lou said she would wear them. Is that how that went?
And Rose.
Okay.
I don't know
Rose over there. All right.
She was
part of the All right, so you got an awesome hat.
Yeah.
I hope it's not the Cowboys, because that would be depressing.
Wow.
Well, what? No, no? You're a Packer fan.
No, I'm a Cowboys fan, through and through.
Oh, okay.
So I'm definitely, I might
okay. Well, I love the glasses, love the hat, love the blouse, and the shorts, not so much, but hey. But that's awesome. And thank
you. I don't know if I'll make the runway thing next year, but
yeah, well, it might become a tradition. Is this a good tradition? Wild, crazy clothes?
Next outing.
Next outing.
I know three girls that I will be dressing.
Okay, so somebody else has to wear the clothes next time. That you okay? That seems fair. She did a great thing. That's awesome. I had to bring you up here because it's not fair to the online viewers to not see that. So. That it sounds like it was a good, wonderful, enjoyable trip. So thank you, ladies, for just having a spiritual time together with fun. You know, it's spiritual to have fun together. It really is. And sometimes we don't look at that serious enough. If you can't laugh together, there's something wrong. So that's wonderful. We have other things that are in your bulletin for announcements. Be aware of them. The chili feed and auction, the supplies, the ingredients need to be there today. Hopefully you brought those with you. If not, you can bring them back, hopefully, as soon as possible. Real Gals Sunday School class starts next Sunday, and that will be the 17th through the November 7th. Lord willing that we don't have a snow day. What, I can't say that? I had to throw that out there because it's getting close to that time of year where snow flies. Yeah, I'll do that too. So we'll see about the snow. Board meeting, kids quest, youth convention, all those details are there. We're going to be going to a wedding. I won't be back to preach by the 24th, and so we're going to have all that covered. Pastor Jason has been working on a message, and he's excited to share that, I know. So anyway, the only announcement that's not in your bulletin, which you may already know about, is Larry's memorial service will be here at the church at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. So be sure to be aware of that. If you can make... Okay, so the sign-up sheet has what to bring, food to bring. I'm just repeating for the online, just in case somebody needs to know. Salads and bars. So make sure you're aware of that, and if you don't have the opportunity to sign in today, you can call and make those arrangements. And also, just to be aware, it's 11 o'clock Wednesday, so and we'll support the family through a memorial service, and there will be a meal following. So, all right. That's good. I think we got all the announcements covered, and we'll dismiss the kids at this time. And they will go to kids' church. James chapter 1 is our text. James chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 8. And I'll also read verse 12. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that we have your promise that we will receive the crown of life. I have mixed feelings about the stuff that leads to it, about the fact that we will face trials, about the reality that life is not easy because we chose to follow you. This is not new information, but it is information that you have asked me to remind us all. And so here we are, giving thanks for the truth that tells us life is hard. Life is not easy. But I'm thankful, Lord, that in it we can find your grace. In this hard life that we live, we can find mercy, kindness, strength, courage, joy, peace, all of the things that come from your Spirit. And we can be victorious. And I pray, Lord God, as we soberly consider these things, that you will inspire us in our spirits. For we need your inspiration at times. We need to be uplifted at times, because it's not always easy to remain faithful when things can be difficult. And so I pray, God, your grace upon us all. I pray your grace upon me to speak your words, and that we all receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Hard Life. That's the title. I don't like the title myself. But it is true that life is not easy. Life is challenging. There are so many different ways that life can be challenging. Sometimes, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we face the persecutions of the world. Sometimes we will face obstruction, and we will literally find ourselves on the brink of death because of a challenge from the enemy. When I say this, I'm saying it to the church in general. Because there are brothers and sisters in Christ that live in other parts of our world that when they proclaim their faith publicly, they could be killed, they could be stoned, they could be shot, they could be decapitated, they could be crucified. Many ways that people are dying because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And you can tell by the truth of the matter in what is happening in our world that being a believer is not an easy street. I believe that we have been distorted in our view of what it means to be a follower of Christ in America. We have come to somehow believe that if you follow God, that everything is great. Everything runs smooth, there are no hiccups, there's no hurdles, there's no challenges, there's no struggles. But that is an Americanized version of Christianity. It's not a Word of God version. How many want to follow Christ today that you have never made that commitment? Let's pray. It's not exactly a great altar call. But the promise of peace that Jesus gave his disciples when he told them of it, He didn't say that the peace he would give would be something that we can experience in the world without him. He said, "My peace I give you is different. And he was truthful and honest about it. And it's ironic and interesting to me that all of the disciples, except the betrayer and John, who nearly died, died cruel, painful, martyred deaths after Jesus promised peace. Well, wait a minute, peace? You said peace, and yet I'm being pierced by a spear. You said peace, but I'm being boiled by hot oil. You said peace, but I'm being hung on a cross. And because I don't think I'm as good as you, Lord, I will be hung upside down. You say peace, but all I see is pain and sorrow and death. But the peace is a spiritual peace that is something you can hang on to in the midst of the circumstance. The enemy wants to destroy your faith, and he wants you to think that you're somehow doing it wrong if you don't have the easy life. God never promised you an easy life. He promised you eternal life. He promised that this is not your home. And he actually says in so many words, don't get comfortable, because this isn't it. And yet, what do? We get this Americanized version of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I have and I've shared this before, I have a magazine in my office that I hold on to only for reference purposes, because it baffles me and it blows me away with the truth of what's being shared, which isn't truth. A well-known evangelist that is telling the people through his television program, if you want diamonds, pray for diamonds. If you want a Rolls Royce, pray for a Rolls Royce. If you want $1 million, pray for $1 million. I will not throw that away, even though it's full of lies and misinformation. That's our new word now that we kind of buzzer. Woo, misinformation. Why don't I throw it? Because I have to be reminded of how crazy it has gotten in the Christian world. What do we know? We know that we will face hardship. That's a promise. Hey, sign me up. I want to follow Jesus so I can suffer. That's so ironically wrong in our spirit, in our flesh. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that's just really amazing. You can be suffering in circumstance and have peace and joy and gladness in heart. But you can live the easy, straight lifestyle, the wide road, if you will, of the path of the world, and you cannot have troubles. You can have all the finances and all the thrills and the frills, and you can have all that stuff going on, and you're miserable inside. Miserable. In your great wealth and joy of living. Miserable. Why? Because you're missing the point. You're missing all of what God has. And so we choose to go down the path of, let's fulfill all my needs and all the things I want, and we don't have the difficulties and the struggles. And then we realize, wait, this is not where it's at. I need to know Christ. I need to know Father God. I need to submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so you choose to follow him, and then somewhere along the way, you got this perception that suddenly all the problems of life just vanish. And you're like, wait a minute. This isn't fair. I chose Christ, and yet I still have challenges and struggles and trials and testings. Yes. But they're different than what you had. There is a very, very big difference from what you had. Here's something from Psalm 119, verse 67. It says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Well, this is interesting. But now I obey your word. What is that actually saying? It says, when everything was easy, I didn't follow God. But now that I'm suffering and things are tough, maybe I do need a little Jesus in my life. Well, there you go. That's a great way of looking at it from the world's perspective. Sometimes God makes life difficult for us when we're in our lostness because he loves us that much. Hallelujah. There are times, I'll admit, I've prayed for suffering upon people that I've loved. I prayed their life was miserable in their sin. I have. Why? Because I hate them? No, because I love them. I love them so dearly, I don't want them to be eternally separated from God in damnation. I want them to know Jesus. I want them to find the same forgiveness that I have found. And so if they are just going to live the life of ease without God and then die eternally and never, ever, ever be in God's presence and always be separated and end up in the eternal lake of fire, well, I would rather them suffer temporarily and come to faith than to live the life of ease away from Him and never know Him. And so sometimes we have to be tough in our prayers because we love them enough. And the psalmist brings that out. Here's another poem that we don't know the author of, which really rings. Until I learned to trust, I never learned to pray. And I did not fully learn to trust till sorrows came my way. Until I felt my weakness, His strength I never knew, nor dreamed till I was stricken that He could see me through. Who deepest drinks of sorrow, drink deepest too of grace. He sends the storm so He Himself can be our hiding place. I'm glad God sent storms in my life, albeit I was pretty young. I remember realizing as a little boy that I needed Jesus to forgive me too, that I needed His salvation just like Mom and Dad did. I was pretty young, inexperienced, didn't know a whole lot, but I knew enough to commit my life to God, and I did that. And I did it many times after as well, because you know how it is. Oh, Lord, help me. I need forgiveness again. I messed up. I'm not choosing You first. I'm trying to be selfish. And so we have those moments. And some of you are here because you've suffered greatly without God. And He loves you enough to make it hard to walk without Him. So that when you do walk with Him, you find His peace, which is eternal. You find His joy, which is unshakable. Even in the midst of the challenge that you have committed to following God, and now it's not easy in a different way, but you know that you are eternally sound and you have the blessed hope. And so you continue on, because even though things are not easy, things can be hard, you still have the peace of mind to know God is with me. Life is hard. Having faith in God does not remove the challenges of life, but it does give you the resources to succeed. Hallelujah. James, Jesus' brother, by the way, and you probably heard about him recently at dinner church. I've talked about him a little bit. He was one of the guys that was telling Jesus to knock it off. That's paraphrasing. Stop it. You're acting crazy. That's what the Bible says. The brothers and Mary tried to stop Jesus from beginning his ministry because he was crazy. Well, that same brother wrote the book of James. Think about that. He began his letter with trials, troubles, and pain. He knew from personal experience that trials are the soil out of which Christian maturity grows. You want to grow in your faith? Expect some difficulties. Everything that we do to become stronger first must break down. If you want to lift more weights as a weightlifter, if you're into that kind of thing, you have to tear the muscles in a workout so they can build back up and have more. It breaks down, it builds up. It breaks down, it builds up. You want to run a mile under a certain time? You better work hard. You're going to have to stretch yourself. When I coached track, I told the kids, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. When you run this race the way it's supposed to be run, it's going to hurt. You need to learn how to run through the hurt. If you want to get better, it's going to be pain. Some of them decided, I don't like to run. It hurts. I didn't see them after that. Bye-bye. Well, at least I was honest. I had one guy that trusted everything I did in every practice, and I told him, if you give me 100%, I'll make you the fastest that you can possibly be. I will make you the best runner that you can possibly be if you give me everything you got at every practice. And he took me by my word. One out of every student I've ever coached. He broke the school record. He went to state in two of his events. And he got second and third place. And he became the best runner that he could possibly be. Why? Because he went through the pain to get to the level that needed to be. And yet here we are in our Christian world thinking that pain is bad, thinking that somehow challenges of life are bad. But God is saying, if you go through the pain and you trust me, you will be stronger. You will run faster. You will run longer. You will lift more weight. You will be able to courageously face things that you could not have faced unless you had first suffered some. And we have to realize that there is trials and testings as we follow God. Difficulties are to be expected. They ought to be something you look forward to, knowing that God is with you when you face them. In my flesh, I don't like difficulties. In my flesh, I like things to go smooth. In my flesh, I don't want to be challenged. I want to just have a good, easy day. Give me a good, easy week. I don't know. Give me a whole year of easiness. Make everything smooth, Lord. I don't want any more rough spots. And yet it seems as if everything's getting harder, not easier. We are going through some challenges trying to express and expand and go beyond our comfort zones in our ministry of dinner church. It's not going well. I'm just being flat out honest. It's not going well. And yet, I just need to hang in there with God and trust and hope. I don't know what's going to happen in a month from now. I don't know what's going to happen in a year from now. I just know that God has called us to this, and I got to trust him in the sorrow and the difficulty and the pain and the suffering. Now, you say pain and suffering? Well, I'm talking spiritually, because it really hurts to really strive forward and not see the fruit you hoped for. It does. It's not easy. But I haven't lost hope. Even if it doesn't pan out, there's a reason why God had us walk through it. There's a reason. And I will say this. If anything has happened, it's seen our own people, you, stretched and active in a way you've never done before. And that, in some ways, is enough to say we've had victory. I really believe that God is calling us to continue to be stretched in the midst of difficulties and challenges. Trials will come. It shows us that in verse 1 and 2 of James chapter 1. You can expect them. They'll be there. They're going to be a part of the life. James, the Lord's brother, was known as camel's knees. Did you know that? Camel knees. Well, we don't have camels around here, although there is one in over by Lewistown, which we see every time we drive by. But camels are not a very common thing. What in the world? Camel's knees? Well, apparently he did so much praying on his knees that they became calloused. And so he had funny-looking calloused knees, and he had the nickname camel's knees. That's kind of funny. Now think about it. This is Jesus' brother, the one who thought he was going crazy, the one who didn't understand what the whole thing was all about. He becomes a follower and a disciple in his own right because people looked at him as one of the Jewish leaders, one of Jesus' own brothers, even though he wasn't one of the 12. He was highly, highly respected by all of the Christian community, and he prayed constantly and always, and he himself became a martyr. You want to know how he died? Well, he was stoned to death. And by the way, stonings happened in such a way that it was typical and normal to first throw whoever it was you're going to stone off of a cliff. That was the normal stoning process. There was no cliff in the area where they stoned James. They threw him off of the Temple Mount and then threw the rocks upon him, and this is how he died. Jesus' brother, camel knees himself, died shortly after writing this epistle. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. He writes to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Who are these people and how did they get established among the nations? Well, let's look a little history. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. So Stephen, the one who was martyred and stoned right there in front of the people, they didn't throw him off a cliff. They just threw lots of rocks at him, which was unusual. That's not the normal way. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against him." And when he had said this, he fell asleep, or he died. The stoning of Stephen was the beginning of a persecution that even Saul, who he later becomes Paul, was a part of. People ran and fled from their homes, and they literally were moved out of their area, and they found a place to hide in other nations. And when they got to the other nations, there were actually people there already that were of the same Jewish ancestry, and I'll explain that in just a moment. Chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And Saul approved his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered through the regions of Judea, Samaria, except for the apostles." Jumping ahead to chapter 11 of Acts, verse 19. "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen," or Stephen, however you want to pronounce that, "traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word, no one except Jews." So they have this historical account of persecution that started from that day. But what's interesting is prior to that, in 722 BC, there was another scattering of the nations, or Jews to the nations, because Assyria conquered the northern kingdom, and they actually deported Jewish people to the other nations. And so when these people scattered, they ended up in other areas with other Jewish people, and they were able to then share their faith about Jesus Christ. Already a colony, if you will, of established Jewish faith was there, and so they were welcomed into these people's areas, but then they started telling them, "Oh, by the way, you're not worshiping correctly because Jesus has come and he is the Messiah." They're like, "What? No, certainly not." But they shared their faith with the people, and because of their sharing of the faith, they became persecuted in the places they ran to. What kind of persecution did they face? Well, they had to go before the Sanhedrin. They had to go before the religious leaders, and they were accused of preaching and teaching false doctrines, which by law can be execution-style punishment. So they go from the frying pan into the fire, if you want to use that phrase. And James, who suffered himself because of his faithfulness to the Lord, the King Jesus faith that he had submitted to, recognizing his own brother as Messiah, I like to say that over and over because that's like, wow. I have an older brother, and whoa. I mean, Kyle's pretty awesome, but he's not Jesus. Right? And yet, this guy recognized him as the Christ. Whew. Powerful. So, how strong was his faith? Well, so much so that he died because he would not shirk his stand with the Lord. So James' readers, they suffered all kinds of trials. They were put before the courts, if you want to use that phrase from our own understanding. And they were accused of false doctrines, and they were possibly going to be jailed, imprisoned, or even killed. And what does he say to them? "Consider it joy that you're suffering because of your faith in Jesus Christ. How should we respond when we face trials and testings of our own? Somewhere along the way, we came to believe that somebody calls us a funny name and that's somehow persecution. Well, it might hurt your feelings, but that's not persecution. That's not risk of life and limb. And yet it is hard when you're not liked because of your Christian faith. It is difficult when you're not popular because you won't go to the parties and involve yourself with the things of what's cool with your friends. Hardships and trials will come, and they'll come in many shapes and sizes. It's not a question of if, it's more or less how and when. But how do you respond when they do? You can think about the Good Samaritan story, Luke chapter 10, verse 30, if you wanted to look it up. So you have this great story of the Samaritan, and we always talk about the guy that saves the day, right? I mean, you have this poor guy that's beat up by criminals. His things are stolen. He's left for dead. And, of course, the religious people walk around him. They don't want to get near him. They don't want to help. Don't want to be inconvenienced, whatever it is. But the Samaritan, the guy that everybody looks down upon, he comes along and he's helpful. Puts him on his donkey, takes him to the doctor. They give him the wine, the medicine. They help him along. And then he gives them some money as well. Hey, here's some money to take care of your needs to help him. And it's like, wow, what a great story. But you know what we don't talk about in the Good Samaritan? The guy that got beat up by the criminals. What did he do to deserve such things? I mean, why was he the one that was beat on and picked on and things were stolen? What did he deserve this? Well, as far as I know, nothing. And yet we had this great story about the guy that got beat up. Well, maybe you're the guy beat up. Maybe you're the one that was pounded on by the criminals and left to die. And we got a great story out of that. Thank you. Thanks for suffering. Well, that's terrible. I don't want to be that guy. I know I don't want to be the religious leader that walks around. I kind of want to be the Good Samaritan, but please, Lord, don't ask me to be the one beat up. Because I think someone else can take that job. But maybe it is you. Maybe you are the one beat up on the road and left to die. And God uses this to change the world. He uses your suffering to catch the hearts of people. And they come to faith in Jesus Christ because you went through it. And you came out healthy and strong and better for it. We don't like to talk about that part of the story. And yet sometimes we are part of that story. And you're not broken. You're stronger. And you're able to empathize with somebody in a way that you never could have before. You're able to share the love of God in a way that, you know what, I've been where you are. I've experienced this myself. And look where God has taken me. Sometimes we suffer, and it's all for the glory of God with the big picture. We just don't like to admit that it could happen to us. Don't get hung up on the why question. That's where I struggle. Why, Lord? Why this? Why now? Why today? Why do I have to go through this challenge? Why is it? Well, you need to work beyond the why question and ask this instead. How can this trial become an opportunity to serve God and even help others? Lord, how can this difficulty I'm facing be used for your glory? How can I become stronger, wiser, honoring you through it all, Lord. How can you use this challenge in my life, whatever that challenge is that you're facing, how, Lord, how can you use this for your glory? I'm willing. When you start asking those questions, the challenge that you face becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. Troubles should not make us lose our faith. They will make us use our faith. We are to consider it pure joy, knowing the end results of our trials will only bring us closer to God with a more seasoned and mature faith. I remember as a kid, my parents were talking probably to my grandparents because we lived at the same farm. Rode together often. We were going out to the fields when we did different events. And I still remember they were laughing and they looked at me. One of them did and said, "Kevin, whatever you do, never pray for patience." And I still remember thinking, okay, I'll mark that down in my memory. Never pray for patience. It didn't dawn on me why. I couldn't grasp the reason for it. And as I'm getting older and years are going by and struggles and testings and faithful challenges come, I remember thinking to myself, oh, I get it. Yeah, because patience is developed how? Through challenges and trials and testings. And I realized that it was kind of a joke that I didn't grasp. Well, you don't need to pray for patience. God will work it in you anyway. Because he loves you enough. There are some preachers on TV and around our nation that want to talk about all the frills and the wonderful thrills of serving God. He's a God of love, and you can just have all that you want and just be so blessed and just live with a smile on your face and all is good. And I wonder how many people are suffering today, walking away from their faith because they've been given a bill of goods that's worthless and tarnished and wrong. I'm going to say it this way. If what I preach doesn't work in a third world country, then it's not the truth of the gospel. If my message doesn't fit anywhere in the world, then I'm not preaching the truth. I believe in the blessings of God. I believe in his miraculous touch for healing. I believe that he blesses us beyond comprehension in our world. But it doesn't always come monetarily. It doesn't always come physically. It comes spiritually. It comes in ways that we cannot even grasp sometimes. But we know that this message is good for everyone. But if you have an Americanized version of what it means to be a follower of Christ, then you are going to go through the suffering and the challenges of trials that God has promised you, you will face, and your faith will be tested, and you will fall flat on your face. But when you know the truth and you understand that this is all part of God's plan, that I can be stronger for this, that God's going to somehow use me through this, you will be victorious and you will be a champion and a hero of the faith. And every single one of you can do that and be that in Christ. I mean, the Bible is full of people just like us that you wouldn't have chosen. I wouldn't have chosen. And God chose them to do this, be that, follow me. You'll see amazing, miraculous things. And they're like, well, wait a minute, I don't know about this. I mean, I can't even speak, and you want me to speak? I mean, how about Aaron, my brother? He's a much better speaker than I am. Oh, yeah, you know that guy Moses. He didn't do much. Yeah, he shouldn't have, but he did. I mean, a murderer? Really? God's going to call a murderer and say, yeah. Stutters, can't speak, can't get it out. Bah. Yeah, you're going to be the one. Well, he fought God so hard that finally God said, okay, fine, use Aaron. Well, that worked out well. So many people of the Bible that, I mean, Paul, I mean, he's the one that was causing the problems, and then God says, yeah, I want you to be the greatest evangelist this world's ever seen. Saul's like, what? The guy that prayed over him for healing, that his eyes would be healed so he could see again, which probably wasn't a perfect healing because he had that thorn in the flesh, and he signed his name in such a way that everybody knew when he was actually signing because it was such a large print, because he was probably close to blind all of his ministry. He couldn't write his own letters. He needed a secretary to write his letters for him most of the time. But as the one that was going to pray over him for that initial healing wondered about it, he's like, Lord, this is the one that's persecuting us. Are you sure? I don't think I want to pray for him. I don't think I want to even talk to the guy. And God's response is, I will show you how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And he suffered greatly as a follower of Jesus Christ and never once was sorry for committing his life to God. Not one time. Not one time. Matter of fact, he said, all that stuff before that I liked, it's garbage. It's garbage. I wished I never had it. Consider it pure joy. That's not the kind of things we like to hear in church. And yet, joy in suffering is the challenge we must face. 1 Peter is the last place we're going to go, and then we'll close. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. It says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is this all about? Well, the Bible speaks of something that's going to happen in the end days. It's a sifting of the wheat, if you will, and the chaff is going to blow. How many farm kids do we got in the house today? Chaff. Don't like it. Itchy. Especially that barley chaff. That's the worst. That's right up there with sunflower barley, sunflower dust. That's not good either if you've not been pummeled with that stuff. But that barley stuff, I mean, it blows all over the place. And you're hoping you got enough grain there. But the wheat, that's the one that we usually could see really well. And you just want all the chaff to blow out and have just the good hard red wheat, you know, or the durum, whatever you're raising. That's the good stuff right there. That's what we want. Well, we're going to have a lot of blowing in our churches across the nation and across our world. And the chaff's going to blow away. I pray that you're the wheat left behind when things get tough. I pray that you're the one that sticks to it and becomes a hero of the faith and stronger for it. Your faith will be proved to be genuine. And it doesn't happen from life being easy. It happens when things are hard. I'm not particularly excited about the direction of our country right now. I don't know if there's any decisions that have been made in the last year that I like from our government. I can't say that the one that's serving is one that I supported or voted for. Matter of fact, I can say I didn't vote for him. But you know what? My hope is not in the president. My hope is not in Congress. My hope is not in any governmental figures. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And no matter what we're facing, I can guarantee it's all coming together. The plan is going just as planned. I don't like it. I don't like that gas and diesel are over $3 a gallon. That's no fun. I try not to drive that diesel pickup because it cost me $100 if I got to fill the tank. What's $100 anymore? It's like nothing, right? But you know what? My hope is not in gasoline or diesel or any other thing. My hope is eternal. It's in Jesus Christ. And if I have to suffer through the same things everyone else is, great. We will do this together for the glory of God. We will face whatever challenges we face. We will do our best to recognize it is a hard life serving God, but it's so worth it. It's so worth the glorious blessings that come from Him that are eternal and forever and spiritual and true. And so I pray that you too will take the challenge to recognize and know when the enemy wants to mess you up because, oh, you're not a good follower of God because of this. Look at the suffering and the struggles you're having. No, this is part of the hard life to follow Him, and it's okay. We're going to be stronger as we walk through it together. We're going to be able to take those testings and do more for the kingdom than if we never faced the testings of our faith. Would you stand with me as we close? I have to admit, as I look at this message, I'm like, Lord, what are you preparing us for? Because, you know, life isn't that hard, right? I mean, yeah, we have our bumps and our challenges, but it's not that difficult. Is God preparing us for something that I'm not aware of? Maybe. But I think I'm going to be able to walk with Him through it. No, I don't think that. I know. Trials will come. Faith will be tested. There's no doubt. Will you look at those challenges and those trials through the eyes of God? Will you do so with pure joy as you are challenged and stretched? And will you grow in faith through Jesus Christ? I pray that you will, as I will, in Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you for the challenge. Life has many joys. There are many things that I like about what we're doing here on this earth. I love my family. I love our home with all that we have living with us right now. I love that we are able to just find joy in the fellowship of believers in this great and wonderful church family. I love that we are stretching ourselves to do a ministry that's difficult. We don't really understand and comprehend how to be successful, but we're trusting you to lead us, Lord. And I know it's not always working out, but we're still moving forward, and I enjoy so many different things that are part of this life that we are living. I know there will be challenges to come. Whatever it is you're preparing us for, we're ready and we're willing. And I pray, Lord God, you'll pour out your Spirit upon us to give us the courage we need to face each day. We thank you for it. And we look forward to the victories ahead, even though there's times where they're hard. Hard fought. We ask this all in Jesus' name. God bless you.